Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome you to today's episode of the American College Experience. My name is Jason Haynes. I am the host of this show and also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network. We're excited that you've joined us today. We have one of the most dominant forces in all of tennis coming on today. That'll be Coach Allison Swain. Allison is from Williams College, and we look forward to our visit today later as we explore even more national championships. We've been able to this summer bring you all of the national championship coaches. We've got one more to go, and that'll be next week. Coach Brian Slack from ASA, the junior college national champion, and he was the only one to pull the double this year. He won both the men's and the women's. If this is your first time to join us today, we're so excited that you've reached out to us and found us on the internet. That's where we operate. We have several other shows that during the course of the week air, and would like to encourage you to listen to those as well. On Tuesday morning, we have Parenting Aces with Lisa Stone. She broadcasts at 10 p.m. out of Atlanta, Georgia. And she covers those things dealing with junior tennis. And on Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock Central Standard Time, we have Dr. Stephen Clark, the head men's coach at Eastern Washington University. Dr. Clark is broadcasting, as I mentioned, at 2 o'clock on Tuesday. Wednesday morning, before I come on the air at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, is head coach Chuck Creasy. Coach Creasy is the head coach at the Citadel, and he broadcasts each week from the Citadel in South Carolina. On Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock, you have my show, and we do talk about college tennis, interviewing some of the best college coaches in all of America. And then on Thursday afternoon, we have the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association perspective, and that is with John Denise. And John broadcasts naturally out of Florida. We don't have a lot going on in the college tennis world because it is the summer. A lot of the college coaches are completing their camps and hoping that their players are competing in the ITA summer circuit. And that is going on all over the United States. They have several different regions that are playing. And these regions, if you do well in each region, then you're invited up to the, and you can participate in the ITA Summer Championships. The Summer Circuit, the Summer Circuit's been going on for a number of years now. It began in 1993, and nearly 30,000 men and women have competed in the Summer Circuit. It's presented by the USTA and the ITA. And you don't have to be a college athlete to necessarily play. You can be a junior as a member of the ITA, and along with the older participants, those that are still looking for competition, the opportunity to compete in the events. And the circuit is open as long as you are a current member of the ITA. There are 9 regional circuits, which include 36 different tournaments. And they travel pretty much through the month of July. And there is a lot of competition to be had. You don't have to be a member of a particular division. You can compete if you're at the NAI, JUCO, Division One, Division Two, Division Three, and you'll get to compete against some great college talent. Now, on the show today, this young lady is quite remarkable, to say the least. She just finished her 9th year at Williams College, and she has a NCAA tournament win streak, or had an NCAA tournament win streak of 33 matches. She's 39-1 overall in NCAA tournament play. Her team's won 6 straight NCAA titles a couple of years ago, and they tied Stanford for the most consecutive NCAA titles won. She was the 2013 ITA National Coach of the Year, and her teams have finished no lower than 3rd in the nation. Even in her first year, she won the title, and she's won many more after that. Let me see if she's here. Hello, Coach Swain, are you there?
I am. How are you today, Jason?
I'm having a great day. I hope I gave you a proper introduction there.
You did. You gave me a great one, except I've only coached 8 years here. Other than that, that was a really, really nice introduction.
Well, I apologize for giving you one more year. I guess we could count on you going back to nationals then next year, and we'll talk about that next summer.
Sounds good.
I was curious, you know, when doing some research here in Williams College, we're going to have some of my listeners that really have no idea about the college and what goes on there. So we're going to visit about that as well today.
Right.
But if you could just kind of start off with a biography. I mean, how did you end up at Williams College, Allison?
Yeah, so I'm actually from Seattle originally and played tennis in the Pacific Northwest as a junior. And I was a really strong student, and I had an older sister who was an excellent athlete. She was a diver, and she dove Division One, and I kind of looked at my tennis and knew that if I was going to be competing for a national title, it wasn't going to be playing in the SEC. I wasn't that good as a tennis player, or the Pac-12 or anything like that, and I wanted a really strong academic school and a small school, and I found Williams, and it was the perfect fit. It had a really strong national tennis program in Division III and great academics. I was fortunate to get in. Went here as an undergrad, and then I was actually a school teacher and a high school tennis coach, and coaching high school tennis was my favorite part of being a school teacher, and that's when I realized I wanted to be a college coach. And I was very, very fortunate the summer of 2007 to interview for the job at Williams when my coach left and be given the job, and that I've only ever coached college tennis at Williams College as a head coach. So it was a little bit of an untraditional path to college coaching, but one that I'm extremely grateful I was given the opportunity to pursue here at Williams.
Very good. Now, Williams College, where is it located, Allison?
Yeah, so we're a Division III school in Northwestern Massachusetts. We're in a small college town, and we compete nationally in Division III and in the NESCAC Conference. And the NESCAC Conference is arguably the toughest conference in D3 women's tennis. I think we currently have 4 teams ranked nationally in the top 8 and 5 or 6 at least in the top 20.
I see. That's quite the competitive sports-wise college. Now, D3, you guys have no athletic scholarships per se, but you deal in academic scholarships. Is that correct?
Right. So some D3 schools have merit aid for academic scholarships. The conference I'm in, the NESCAC conference, does not, but we have really robust financial aid. So well over 50% of our student body at Williams College, including athletes, are on different levels of financial aid here, but it's all need-based.
I see. Well, that's a little bit different than the traditional Division III programs.
Yeah, you know, Division III really varies. Some schools provide academic aid, some don't. It really depends on the conference and the school in that regard. Williams is really kind of top of the line academically, so I can't even imagine what you would have to do to earn an academic scholarship here. It would be pretty off the charts, but I'm a big believer in having really robust financial aid, and that's been really helpful to our students and our student athletes, and I think Williams does a nice job on that front.
Now, Allison, since it is such a successful Division III program, what are some of the degrees and programs that the kids come to Williams for?
Yeah, so we're a liberal arts college. Our players really run the gamut of majors here. You actually don't declare until the end of your sophomore year, so they've got a good bit of time to decide. But I think the trends going on around the country are similar trends that we see here at Williams. We have a good number of students that are pre-med, which is not a major, but an area of study that's very popular. One of our recent alums is starting at Tulane Medical School this fall, so we're excited for her. We also have a lot of students that look into computer science or economics. Economics is our business major. And then there's also students that explore more traditional liberal arts majors like languages or the humanities, psychology. So it's really widespread among our team. But the nice thing is all the majors here are really manageable, even those with labs, with our tennis schedule.
So how many students attend Williams College?
Yeah, we're about 2,400 students, and we are really an academic institution, but we're very well known for our athletic success. We've won 18 out of the last 20 Director's Cups for Division III. We've got over 32 sports here, so it's just over 30% of the student body that is a varsity team member. So we've got a lot of support for athletics here, and a lot of fans come out to our matches and other athletic events here. So it's a really fun student-athlete environment.
Yeah, what kind of facilities do you have up there?
Yeah, so we've got 18 outdoor hard courts at Williams. We get to host a lot of tournaments. We host our ITA regional, either the men or women host every single year. We host a lot of fall tournaments. Since I've been here, we've hosted the NCAA regional rounds every single year on the women's side. And then we've got 4 indoor courts as well.
Well, that's nice when the weather gets bad.
Yeah, that's important up in the Northeast, indoor tennis. But the 18 outdoor courts is really nice for hosting events, and it's nice. We practice at the same time as our men's team, which is always a fun environment. And we've got, you know, speakers on our courts. We've got a deck overlooking courts 1 and 2, which our fans love to sit on nice days. And it's a beautiful place to practice out in the mountains of the Berkshires. We've got quite the backdrop for our tennis courts.
I bet so. Now, do you practice at times with the men, or is it completely separate practices?
Yeah, we don't practice. We have a separate men's and women's coach. We don't practice with the men, but we do practice at the same time, and we often, are home the same day as they are, so we support each other's teams, and the students, like I said, it's a small school. The students know each other well.
Now, being so successful, I mean, Allison, how do you recruit these kids to come to Williams College?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's a tough sell at all, but I'm biased. I went here and now coach here. We really look for student-athletes that want to excel both in the classroom and on the court. I mean, I think offering the opportunity to play in an NCAA tournament year in and year out, kind of be at the top of your division, is a unique opportunity. You know, our conference title is always something that we're vying for, as well as a national championship. I certainly can't guarantee it, but it's very motivating to be in that environment. The other thing is there is a balance here. You know, we are in season a lot, but not year round. We practice for about 2 hours a day. Those practice times don't conflict with their classes, so they can really pursue both here. And then the final thing is we're a very, very close-knit team, and I was fortunate to have a coach who felt like college tennis was at its best because it was a team sport and really focused on building that team chemistry, and I learned a lot from her and have carried that forward.
Now, I'm curious, when you're out there recruiting, I guess you're looking for a top academic type student. Are these two sport athletes? Are they diamonds in the rough? Late bloomers?
Yeah.
Does it really matter? or what are you after?
You know, I think there's some misconceptions about Division III and what the top of Division III is really like. And, you know, we have some players on our team that in middle school or elementary school played soccer or other sports, but the vast majority turned to tennis, you know, as their primary sport fairly early on. I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with UTR, but that's something we use a lot in our recruiting. And right now our starting lineup from last year was between a 9.0 and a 10.25 UTR. So, you know, that talent level is pretty high, and these players on our team have definitely put a lot of time and effort into their tennis. But at the same time, their academics have always been a priority, and they're players that have been able to do both really well.
Are you able to draw players away from the Division I level, and because they can compete and win, you know, at a different level, at the D3 level?
Yeah, I think I think in our recruiting process, we start with players that are looking at Division I and Division III schools, or sometimes just Division I schools and maybe a couple of Division III schools. And obviously, like any coach, you know, not everyone we recruit ends up wanting to come to Williams, and not everybody that wants to come to Williams I can end up taking here. So it happens both ways. But, yeah, I think the girls that have chosen to come to Williams have really been drawn to the balance, the academic reputation that Williams offers, as well as the opportunity to compete for a national championship. And those things kind of fulfill the package for them. And then the official visits are really important. You know, when they come to campus and spend time with the team and see the campus, I think that's when players really get a sense of this is where they want to be or not.
Yeah, and you're able to kind of promise them quite the tennis experience. I mean, you guys travel to nationals year in and year out. This season, no different, an unbelievable undefeated season. Do I have it right? 25-0.
You do. It's the first undefeated season in Williams tennis history. In fact, that's nothing we really set out to do. I set out to play the toughest schedule we could possibly play, and I was pretty sure we'd get beat somewhere along the line this year. But these girls, last year, 2014 was the first year in my time at Williams that we did not win the national championship, and we ended the season on a high note. We finished third. We felt good about our effort. So I didn't really know where that would put our team and our returning players come this fall. And I will tell you, I have that team as a whole, as a group of returning players, was incredibly driven. I have yet to coach a team that was as driven as a group to improve, and they improved so quickly because of that focus and drive, and that really spurred them on to what ended up being one of the toughest schedules we've ever played in the spring, and an undefeated record with that schedule. So I'm very, very proud of that.
Yeah, your roster has 12 players on it, 3 internationals. Is it hard to get internationals to attend Williams, or is that a big deal?
Yeah, I know in Division I and Division II, there's a lot of talk and debate about international players versus American players. International players are more rare for us, and in fact, I don't really seek out international versus American players. I think often for us, American players know more about Williams, have heard of Williams, know its academic reputation. I also think the American players typically have an easier time navigating the academic requirements like SATs and things like that are required for admission to a school like Williams. They're just more familiar with the things that are required and coursework and things like that. But our 3 international players all had various connections to Williams, or actually one of them went to school in the United States for high school, so we're somewhat familiar. But in my own recruiting process, I'm not traveling internationally. I'm not actively seeking international players because they add something more to our program. I would say the players that we get in the recruiting process, as often as I'm finding them, they're reaching out to me and contacting me first and telling me they're interested in a highly academic school like Williams with a successful program. So it definitely works both ways, but I think that reminder to be proactive as a high school, when you're in high school and junior tennis and reaching out to coaches, not expecting them to necessarily find you, is important.
Right. With all this, you play quite a bit in the fall. I've noticed for Division III that you spend a lot of time playing tennis in the fall. And if I'm right, you're limited number of weeks that you can practice and participate in tennis at D3. Is that correct?
We are. So you have 19 weeks in the regular season. Now, we play such a long postseason because of our success that we play many more weeks than that. But it's 19 weeks in the regular season, and you know, way back before my time as a player, our primary season was the spring or the fall for women's tennis. And in fact, our conference wasn't allowed or permitted by conference rules to participate in the NCAA tournament until 1994. So women's tennis was a fall sport then. So we kind of have this fall that historically was more of a season for us. And I've kept that as a pretty robust season. Our spring is definitely our main season, but we compete for 6 to 8 weeks in the fall, and I find it extremely valuable for us. You know, we figure out in that time, we get our team culture going, we can work on some bigger picture skills, and we can get a good sense of where our returners and where our first years are at, and it's a good way to kind of improve a good bit, but then also stay motivated through the off season, and have some things that each person knows they're working on. And I also think that's really valuable to the girls we do recruit that are thinking about, am I going to get enough tennis at D3, as much tennis as I want? So I like that we offer that full fall season.
Yeah, and you're one of the few coaches that I've noticed in my time here that actually plays dual matches in the fall. That's a little different.
Yeah, I think I'm one of the few. I love it. You know, I call it the reward of junior tennis. By the time you're in your last couple of years of it and you're kind of playing the same people in your section and it's starting to get a little old, the reward of junior tennis really is college tennis. It's team tennis. I mean, maybe in hindsight, I should have played a team sport because I love the team aspect. And that really is one of the best things about college tennis. And so for our first years to come in and get some dual match experience right away is really important. Those are fun events for us, fun days for us in the fall where we can play as a team. So I find it really motivating for our group. I also think, you know, we're often, sometimes our first or second match is against a top 10 team in the country in the spring. So if you're playing freshmen in that first match against a top 10 team and they never even have played a dual match, that's a lot to put on them. So I like that they get the experience in the fall. I think it's important.
Yeah. Now, how did your ITA regionals go?
Great. So, yeah, we hosted this fall. We have a really strong young group of players in our program right now. Linda Shin, who's a returning, was a sophomore this year. She played 2 and 3 singles for us her freshman year. She won the ITA tournament this fall for us, earned All-American status doing that. She actually beat a freshman teammate of hers in a great match in the final. I think she played 2 or 3 other Williams players along the way in the tournament. So we had a lot of players go deep into the draw in the singles. And then in the doubles, we actually had 3 Williams doubles teams in the semifinals, which was really exciting for us, pretty crazy. And we had a senior tandem win the doubles title, and it was actually the second time for Rebecca Curran, who was a senior captain on our team this year. She won the ITA regional for the second time. this past fall. So that was exciting.
So you got a chance to participate in the small college championships?
You know, we did. And Rebecca Curran, she participated in the tournament two other occasions in doubles. Her junior year, she and her partner won the Division III bracket at the ITA Small College. This past fall, we actually elected not to go because we were playing Amherst. Poor planning on my part, poor scheduling. We were playing Amherst the same Saturday that the ITA Small College was going on, and Amherst is one of our big rivals in our conference, and you know, we would have been missing three players going into that match, and it's also a lot of missed class time for us. We miss almost a full week of class, so we elected not to go this year. I've scheduled better, knock on wood, for next year, and we played our dual match against Amherst, and that was the priority for us as a team. So it was fun. I'm glad we made that decision, and we did well in that match, and it was the right thing for us this year.
Looking at your schedule, you set up a tough spring schedule, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, like I said to you before, I didn't expect to come out of that spring undefeated. I kind of wanted to ensure that we would have a loss in there to learn from and grow from. But this team was so driven and so determined. They really brought it in all those matches over spring break.
Yeah, you had a couple of tough matches, 6-3, 5-4, in the schedule. So I know that you meant for it to be a tough schedule, but you also had some interdivisional play in there as well.
Yeah, we played James Madison, Division I school. We played them several years ago. I think maybe 2009 we played them, and you know, we've played some D2 schools too, and it's really fun for us to kind of play some players we've never seen. You don't have a history with them, and you don't really know what to expect going in, and you've got to adapt and play. So that James Madison match, I remember it. It was outdoors. It was pretty cold in March in Virginia, but it was a good battle. They played well, both sides.
Yeah, now you play in the NASCAC Conference. Can you tell us what that means?
Yeah, NESCAC Conference stands for New England Small College Athletic Conference.
Very good.
And it's 11 schools.
Yeah, you have 11 schools in there, and that allows you to schedule allows you to have a pretty easy time scheduling it, doesn't it?
Yeah, we actually aren't required to play all the schools in our conference. We're required to play a rotating group of five schools. So over 4 years, we'll play every school in our conference twice, but not every year. So that gives us a little bit of flexibility, too, to travel and play some other competition that's at our level. And then, like I said, we're very fortunate to play in such a strong conference. I think one of the reasons we compete so well is we're constantly playing really great opponents, some of the best in the country. So it's a nice mix, and the travel is pretty close. So again, not a lot of missed class time to play that really challenging schedule.
Yeah, and I know that's important to keep those kids in school and not miss a lot of days. You mentioned that you have a rival in Amherst within your conference. Do you have any other rivals in the conference?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of good schools in our conference. If you look at who's in the top eight right now in our conference, it's Williams and Amherst and Middlebury and Bowdoin. We play those three schools every year. There's a lot of other schools that can still push us that are ranked in the top 20. Amherst is a longstanding rival of Williams in every sport. You know, you go to a basketball game, when it's Williams Amherst, it is packed and people have their faces painted, you know, all purple and gold on the Williams side. I don't know if you know our mascot, but we're the Purple Cows. It's a very intimidating mascot. We've got our Purple Cow dressed up and out there. So those matches across the board, those games and contests across the board in every sport kind of get our student body and our athletes going.
The Purple Cows. I had no idea.
It's a good thing we're good at athletics. Otherwise, that would be a really poor choice of a mascot.
Still in the line from Auburn, War Cow. Is that the motto?
Well, our team cheer is Go Cows Moo. So that's what we cheer before every match. Again, it's a good thing we're fairly athletic.
So you had an undefeated season. I got to ask, was there a time in that season where you kind of felt like might have a chance here to get back to the national championships, or was it just kind of build as you go type season?
Yeah, so I really try to focus on the process, and we do a mixture of goals for our team. We do some process goals that are about, you know, the steps along the way and what we're doing day in and out and the commitment we're making to each other. And then we also have some outcome goals that are, you know, you can say at the end of the day, yeah, we won that or we didn't win that, you know. And we have a mixture of both, but we really broke down our season into a few different stages this year, and we tried to stay focused on the moment we were in, and I think that really helped us. If you look back through our history, we kind of have a history of losing the NESCAC Conference Championship and then winning the National Championship, which is fairly ironic. And my captains actually talked this year about feeling like sometimes they go into that tournament and they're not as motivated. They're excited to be at NCAAs, and the conference championship is another weekend where they're still waiting to get to the NCAA tournament. And we talked about changing that mentality this year, and we did, and we came out on top in that tournament, and that felt really good and was a huge goal of ours. And for me as a coach, this is going to sound kind of odd, but I never really think we're going to win the national championship. You know, even warming up that day for that match against Emory in the finals, like, I felt good. Our team looked loose. They were excited. They were ready to play that match. But until Linda Shin won that final point to give us the fifth point in the championship, I never think to myself, oh, yeah, we've got this. We're going to win. Because there's so many things that have to come together, and it's really important to be in the moment, I think.
Yeah, now looking at your results from the season, I mean, you weren't just – barely beating a lot of these teams. There's a lot of 5-0, 5-1 scores in here.
The last couple of years we hadn't been as strong in doubles against some of the top teams, and in Division III and Division II, doubles is worth 3 points. In Division I, it's just worth a point. You win 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 3, you get 1 point. But in Division III, it could be 3-0 after the doubles, up or down. And that's a big advantage and a big difference. So one of our goals going into this season was to focus more on the doubles and compete a little better and a little smarter. So we worked a lot on that, and a lot of the results, you know, you see in the scores you see in our schedule, those 7-2, 6-3, 5-0 wins are a product of getting that strong start in doubles play for sure.
Now, I believe that the singles matches are played with the heart, and the doubles matches are actually the time that the coach gets involved. Do you kind of feel the same way?
We talk a lot about energy for doubles. I mean, it's a pro set. It goes quickly. There's not as many opportunities to change momentum or strategy. So, we focus a good bit on kind of positive energy. We're a loud team. We cheer a lot for each other in matches and stuff. And we try to go out in the doubles, we're not feeling it out. We're going out and attacking and bringing a lot of high positive energy. Now, am I giving strategy updates in there and helping out with adjustments? Of course. But I think an aggressive mentality and a lot of energy goes a long way in the doubles. The singles, there's a little more time to be a little slower, calmer, methodical, try a few different things, see what's working, adjust a little slower. That's how I kind of would describe my view of the doubles versus the singles.
Right. Now, you saw most of your opponents at Nationals prior to the championships. Do you think this was a help for your team?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's a help for our team is playing the toughest schedule possible. And we really try to put together a schedule that pushes us. We had seen most of the teams we played in NCAAs, all three of the final quarter, semis, and final teams we had played before. I think it works both ways in that moment. You know, it's harder to beat a rival or someone who's as strong as you. It's harder to beat them twice in a row. It's easier to be the underdog, I think. I actually often try to create a feeling that we're the underdogs, even if we're not, to give us a little, keep us loose, give us a little more freedom. So I think it can be viewed both ways. It can certainly be an advantage to know who you're going up against, but it can also be an advantage to have a close loss and be fired up and a little more focused to try to redeem that loss. The interesting thing about the Emory match in the final is I think we had a lot of lineup changes between both us and Emory at that point. So there weren't very many matchups that were the same. None of the doubles was the same matchup. And I think just two of the singles were the same matchups as the first time we played them over spring break.
Yeah, now you made it through the quarterfinals 5-0, semifinals 5-1 against Amherst, and you get to that final day. Are you one of these coaches that likes to pump the kids up, or were they pretty pumped whenever they got there?
They're pretty pumped. I mean, they're pretty pumped. We play music at practice. We play music in our warm-up. It's a playlist that my seniors come up with that they've been listening to all season. That's music that gets them energized, too. We cheer a lot in the warm-up. Honestly, at that point, I'm kind of hoping our pre-match routine is well-honed and familiar and that people are, you know, really excited to be there. In the national championship match, there shouldn't be a lot you have to do to pump up your team.
It was a 5-4 final match, a 5-hour match at that. You had some coaching to do on that day.
Yeah, absolutely. It was one for the record books for sure. So in the seven national championships we've won since I've been coaching here, three of them have been 5-4 finals. So down to, you know, we played a decision. So 5-4 means there is one match on court, and that's it. That match is deciding the whole thing at the end. It's on those shoulders of those two players out there. And it is nerve-wracking and exciting and inspiring to have any small part in that, to even to be a spectator for that moment. It was really inspiring for us this year. There were so many just great moments. It really took all 12 girls and all our coaching staff to get through that match. It's not just that one person out there, but you know, all of us kind of working together to support her, and it's the things that happen in doubles. I mean, all of that. But Linda Shin, sophomore on our team, who won the ITA this fall, she was playing two singles for us in that match, and she was up 4-0 in the first set and lost the first set 6-4.
Wow.
Just started playing. The other player started playing really well. She started playing a little more defensively, a little more on her back foot, and it was over. And I was coaching her, and we made some adjustments, and she came out. I think it was 6-2 in the second set. She won. At the same time, our number six player had lost the first set and just won the second set. And I'm sitting with Linda, and my assistant coach is coaching that six singles match, and it's gonna come. It's down to those two. Down to those third sets. Everybody else finished in two, you know, win or lost. So we needed one of those third sets to win the match. And I sat down with Linda after the third set or the second set, and getting ready to, you know, keep her calm or focused, whatever she needs in that moment. And she looks at me, she goes, Hannah, who's our number six, she goes, Hannah split sets, right? And I said, yeah, Hannah split. Like, you're both going to play the third sets together. This is great. She goes, did Hannah already start her third set? I said, yeah, she started. She goes, well, I'm going to win first. That's what Linda said. And And, you know, she wasn't nervous. She wasn't terrified. She wasn't worried about what was going to happen in that moment. The only thing she thought was, I want to win before Hannah wins. You know, I want to be the fifth point. And she looked over, she watched Hannah play a really long point and win that point. She looks at me and she said, that was a great point for me to watch. And she walked back to the baseline and started the third set. And she battled. Hannah ended up losing her third set, so it came down to Linda pretty quickly. And Linda was just ready. She was ready to be the fifth point, and she wanted it, and she played in the moment and was able to do it for our team, and it was incredible. And I trust that if any other member of our team had been in that same position, they would have been ready too, because that's what we prepare for.
Now, it was interesting, one of your quotes that you mentioned that that Linda was able to finish what she couldn't do the year before.
Yeah.
Can you fill us in a little bit?
Yeah, so last year in the semifinals, we lost to Amherst, and we got swept in the doubles, so we were down 0-3 going into the singles. There's not much hope in that scenario, but my team, they play with so much heart. They came back, and they tied the score at 4-all, and it came down to Linda's match, and she didn't win. You know, she lost that match as a freshman. So Amherst won and proceeded to get to play in the final for the national championship. And we played for third place. And Linda was interviewed after our match this year. And, you know, there's a quote from me in the article. And she said in her interview when she was asked about the match that she won this year, she said, I wasn't able to win in the semifinals last year. I was in the same position and I didn't win. And I'm just so happy that I was able to do it this year. And she was so ready. I mean, she wanted that. You know, she wanted to be in that position.
You know, looking at the scores from the national championship, only one match that really wasn't close. You had at number three, we had a 6-1, 6-2 victory there. It must have been a nail-biter kind of a day. I mean, several breaks of serve
yeah.
here and there, and it could have gone the other way.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely was. And, you know, I didn't, you know, like I said, the doubles was, you know, the doubles really sets the tone. And we hadn't had, you know, we hadn't played those same teams. It wasn't, all the matchups were different. And I didn't know how it would go. And, you know, the match you talk about that was the only one that was pretty straightforward for us at three singles. That was Rebecca Curran. She was our only senior captain that was in the lineup by the postseason this year. She also played three doubles for us, and her three doubles score was 8-1. And I think it's a testament to Rebecca. I mean, she was just ready. She helped the team win a national championship her freshman and sophomore year. They didn't win last year, her junior year, and she was ready, and she was, I mean, talk about being in the zone. Like she was in the zone that day, and she got 2 points off the board for us really quickly. And you know, if she had had to battle and it had been a tougher match, I'm confident, you know, she would have battled and competed super well. But I think she also knew that our team needed some confidence and some momentum, and she provided that in both doubles and singles for us that day. But the rest really was a nail-biter. You know, as a coach, there's moments you feel great. And I mean, it's a 5-hour tennis match, so there's moments you feel really good. You know, you're up 2-1 after doubles. That feels great. You got Rebecca Curran cruising in singles. You're going to be up 3-1 pretty soon. You're feeling really good. Then all of a sudden you're losing 4 first sets. You know, that we lost 4 first sets, and all of a sudden you're thinking, oh my God, we're going to have to turn one of these singles matches around, or we're not winning this. Emery's taking it. So, you know, it's one of the really fun and exciting things about college tennis is the momentum changes. And in an individual tournament, there can be momentum changes in a particular match, but to see those swings on 6 courts and how one court affects the other one and how the energy changes for an entire team at different times, I think really elevates the level of excitement as for tennis as a spectator sport.
Was it getting into that third set in the number 2 singles match, was that the difference maker for the day? I mean, when you look back on it?
Yeah, I mean, I think getting into the third set in both the number two and the number six singles match, you know, we lost the third set 6-0 at six singles. So in the end, it wasn't a close third set. But the fact of the matter was, you know, while Linda was getting started with her second set, she still had Hannah out there competing. She wasn't on her own for the entire third set. And I think that's helpful, you know, to have some people still on court. And in fact, I think our four singles player was still on court. She had a really long two-set match. I think she was still on court for a little bit of it, too. So the longer you can go without the whole match resting on one person's shoulders, the better for everybody. But absolutely, you know, I didn't know where we would get into a third set. You know, if you had asked me at the start of second sets whether it would be at two singles or six singles or four singles or five singles, I couldn't have really predicted it. But I, you know, obviously we needed to, and I think we needed to get into at least two third sets to really change the momentum.
Now you win that final point, and the girls storm the court, very excited. You end up with a Gatorade bath and all this, Coach?
That's a good question. So the girls absolutely storm the court. It's a stadium, it's a half stadium court that she's playing on. So there's a low, you know, waist high fence, and we've got some amazing photos of some girls who I don't think can jump more than a foot in the air, leaping over this waist-high fence to get to Linda. It's pretty awesome. So we've got the dog pile and everything. The Gatorade bath is a good question. So in 2013, we played our national championship match first in the morning, indoors, and the guys' matches to follow. And when we won, I got the Gatorade bath on indoor courts that were already delaying a men's match. So I don't know that the NCAA staff appreciated that. We did help them clean it up, but they had to dry the court and everything. So I didn't get the Gatorade bath this year on the stadium court, which was probably a good thing for the men's match coming up afterwards. And I also, I wouldn't have minded, but I also appreciate it because it wasn't the warmest day in Ohio. It was a little bit chilly out. So I'll take the dog pile and skip the Gatorade bath.
Yeah. And Allison, you've got a wonderful take on all this. I got to ask your coaching philosophy. Where does it come from?
You know, I think it's a combination of the coaches who coached me. Absolutely. And also, you know, my education at Williams. I really believe in the true student athlete experience, that athletics is a platform for education, for you know, life lessons and instilling values, and obviously we're always working hard to get better at tennis, the skill and the discipline in and of itself. But like I said, I believe team, you know, the creating that strong team chemistry and playing for a team is really important. I believe deeply in hard work and positivity. And I believe in competing with a lot of heart without fear and putting it all out there. And we talk about those things and we work on those things constantly. And then I believe that if you pursue excellence in one area of your life, you should do that with everything you take on. So the academic success of our players, them having the opportunities to pursue what they're most interested in outside of tennis is also fundamental to their 4 years here at Williams.
Now, Allison, do you teach this as a team sport with individual opportunities, or is it an individual sport with team opportunity?
I would say it's a team sport first and foremost, for sure. Like, our individual goals are secondary. I mean, your individual goals on my team should be a means to making the team better. So, you know, if you're playing in our lineup, you're playing for a point. You know, the number one spot isn't worth more points than the number six. And it really, really shouldn't matter to you at the end of the day. where you're playing if you've earned that spot in the lineup. And if you're not, if you're just outside of it, because we've got 12 girls on our roster, what are you doing to make yourself better, but more importantly, your teammates better? And by focusing on those things, that's going to make you better faster and create opportunities for this team and for yourself. So it's definitely a team sport first in my mind.
It sounds like you do a lot of mental training with the girls as well. Do you have a favorite team-building exercise that you do?
I have a lot of them, actually, and we change them every year. I kind of adapt to where we're at the time and what we need. But frankly, a lot of what we do is kind of discussion-based and us talking about it. You know, these girls have been playing tennis for a long, long time, and they've been competing for a long time, and they know better than anyone what they struggle with, what their self-talk is like when they're out there, what's running through their mind. It's all very similar, and how have the girls that compete, you know, are better at those things, how do they have really positive self-talk? What are they saying to themselves? How are they getting through tough momentum moments in a match? You know, I say to my team, you only play your best tennis once. That's why it's called your best tennis. You know, that's not happening day in and day out. That's not happening every time you step on the court. So how do you compete? How do you compete well every time you step on the court, regardless of what's going on with your forehand or your serve or the wind or the cold or the indoor surface, whatever it is? And for us, we focus a lot on how we compete.
Now, I'm curious, with all that's going on with all this training and stuff, how do you keep it fun?
Well, the girls are really positive and energetic. And, you know, we train 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. And they come after classes. We train in the afternoon when classes are over. So a lot of times, you know, I've taken actually a page from our men's tennis book. We start off practice with a doubles game, all on the same court. You know, that's a great way to get our energy high, get us loosened up, get our minds off class, focused on the tennis and exercise and the body. And, you know, when you're sitting in class all day, you need something active. You need a change up. We play music at practice. You know, we change up the drills we do at practice a lot, and I think it's also, you know, our schedule. You know, these girls aren't competing to finish, you know, fourth or fifth place in their conference, you know, with no chance of winning it or definitely beating the teams at the bottom. There's something really tangible and really exciting that we're working towards, and that's incredibly motivating.
And you mentioned that you lose Rebecca. Are there other players that you lose off this year's team?
Yeah, so we had three seniors, so we're graduating them. We'll have our number six player from this season will be studying abroad in France this fall and back in the spring. And we also have a freshman who tore her ACL in our spring season early on, who will be fully back on court by the spring season too. So this fall's going to be kind of fun and interesting, you know, because we've got a few returning players from the lineup, but a lot is up in the air. A lot is kind of open, and it's going to present some really good opportunities for our incoming freshmen and some returners who weren't in the lineup at the end of last season. And that's exciting. You know, you get to see who's kind of ready, who's put in the work, you know, who's adding a lot to the program. You know, from here, I can't predict anything. I'm excited to see where we come back in the fall, and then we'll build from there, and we'll see where that takes us, you know, one practice and one match at a time.
Yeah, so how long did you get to enjoy this national championship before you got on to the next season?
Well, that's the beauty of coaching. You're always thinking about what's ahead, but I'm still enjoying it. Heck, I'm still enjoying the national championship from 2008. You know, my office, I'm sitting in my office right now talking to you, and my two walls of my office are filled with player photos of, you know, some of the best moments in my career, both as a player and a coach. And I get to look at those every day. And, you know, we'll do some more celebrating of this national championship. Our alums are going to come back. We'll have a nice dinner weekend this fall for one of our home matches, and we'll celebrate some more. At the same time, I'm recruiting year-round, and I'm always thinking about the season ahead. So, you know, you gotta kind of do it all at once.
I'm curious, do you get rings for all these tournament wins? How does that work for you at this point with your fingers?
You know, it's awesome. The NCAA, you get the big championship trophy, but all the players get a small replica of that they get to keep as well for winning. And then they get a really nice watch from the NCAA with the national championship title on it. So they all have that. And then a lot of the girls are getting from this year are getting rings as well. I have just one ring. I've got the ring from 2001 when I was a senior on the Williams team, and we won our first ever national championship in women's tennis. And I wear that ring a lot, and I love all these other national championships too. In fact, as a coach, I like the amount of pride you feel for the girls that you've coached, the amount of joy for them that you have when you win a national championship. It just can't be measured. But you know, I'll wear the one for. The ring for my teammates in that 2001 year.
Yeah. How many freshmen do you have coming in?
We've got four. They're all Southerners, two from Tennessee and two from Florida coming in this fall.
Very good.
So that's a pretty big class for us, and we have four returning sophomores. Those are our two biggest classes right now. So we'll be a young team once again.
Oh, well, Allison, it's been a joy sharing this with you today, and so glad that you came in and shared things with us.
Yeah, well, Jason, I really appreciate it. I appreciate you giving some love to Division III and, you know, for taking the time to talk with me about Williams and our tennis program.
You bet. It sounds like that you and I may be visiting again soon.
I don't like to make predictions, Jason.
Well, I try to do it each year, and hopefully with some success, we'll get back together again soon, Allison.
I hope so, too.
All right. Well, take care and have a good day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Allison Swain. Allison is the head coach out there at Williams College, and it sounds like if you've got a daughter that wants to win a national championship, you should look into Williams College, because Allison and her team are doing some wonderful things. Want to thank her for coming in today and sharing her story and her team's story, and want to remind you that we'll be back next week, and this will be the final national champion coach that we've got over the summer, and that'll be head coach Brian Slack of the ASA team, and he will be traveling in next week to visit with us, and then we'll get on with other college coaches in the course of the summer. But again, he'll be the last national championship coach that we've got, and I want to thank you for listening in today. If you've got a chance, go outside and hit some tennis balls. And if you don't, because it's so hot, then wait till it cools off and hit some later in the day. But thanks again for listening, and look forward to hearing from you again next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Warning. Orthopedic surgeons are seeing an increase in overuse injuries when young athletes perform the same repetitive stressful motions over and over. Pitching, tennis, weight training, even long swimming workouts can cause overuse trauma that may require surgery. If your kids play and train hard, visit orthoinfo.org or stopsportsinjuries.org. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine.